Live from the Ron Scow Communications Center, this is From the Stand. I'm your host, Steve Buss. Joining us, as he does every opening day of AirVenture, is EIA's Jack Pelton. Jack, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Steve. We look forward to this. This is kind of when I know it. It officially is on, when we have this session.
Just before we came on the air, Jack said, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. Let's start with airplanes.
Airplanes, there we go.
What's the prognosis for this year's event? I mean, we're watching a lot of airplanes come in over the weekend, and things are filling up. It's looking good.
It is. The pre-sale for just gate attendance was ahead of where we were last year when it was a record year. So that's encouraging. The aviation piece of it, as far as counting airplanes, you know, last year we were down a little bit, and I think we're kind of seeing the early start here. It's not predictable. It was down a little yesterday because of the weather. Today's going to be Cessna Mass arrival. I think the Cherokee's today, or Cirrus. And so I think, and we have beautiful weather, so I think it'll pick up real well.
It certainly is. And one of the things that's always fun on social media is leading up to the event, people watching the extended forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And as you well know, in Wisconsin here, the extended forecast is about accurate to about 36 hours.
I was going to say,
after that, it's
till 10 that day. It's
amazing. But people are panicking over the rain, and oh no, it's going to be all soggy, and the campground will be underwater. And there are some soft spots out there. But it's hats off to the maintenance team at EIA for helping keep things moving and being able to get people out of the mud when they get stuck. It is really something. So there's a lot of folks who are already here and set up and ready to go. And like I said, the campground is really, really looking good. And a new campground, a new extension to the campground. Things have kind of changed around a little bit in Camp Sheldon.
It is. The far south end, we changed it around to make it parking. Mm-hmm. So over the years, we've been, as the crowds continue to increase, we kind of do it on the fly, create a parking area, create another camping area. And after last year, we had such a terrible, terrible Wednesday night after the air show of people not being able to find their cars, not being able to find their campers. So we decided to keep all the parking on Pobresny Road.
Okay.
So we had 4,000 parking spots all in that, what we're calling the Purple Life lot. We put a tram stop in there also that takes them right to a new south gate that they can come in. So we hope that'll keep it more efficient and orderly to for people coming and going.
It has been an evolution of people movement, not only people but vehicles. Talking to someone in Oshkosh the other day, and they said, wow, I just can't believe that EIA is in town because there's no traffic jams like there used to be. And I'm like, yeah, they kind of solved some of those issues.
We worked on that hard. And, you know, actually it was 2018 or 2019, we actually had Northwestern University has a group that does planning for events, but mostly like NFL stadiums and parking and all that. They came out and brought their grad students, and they spent a year with us looking at traffic patterns and all of those kind of things. And that's what's kind of driven our thinking is what they put together and gave us at the end of it.
Good.
Which, by the way, I got to go back to your weather one, because I sent to my staff last week, there's a great Simpsons where Bart is writing on the chalkboard, as he always does a million times, saying, Oshkosh weather forecast. I will not look at the long term. So that was kind of the mantra we used all leading into the show.
Exactly. And the weather is going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be hot. It's going to be cold. It's going to rain. And the only thing that we probably won't have is snow. But
that's
I never count that out either.
No, you guys have had snow on Easter. I was here for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what's happening inside EIA headquarters. What are some of the? I know Mosaic is moving forward. What's the latest on that?
We have outstanding news on Mosaic, and the Secretary of Transportation will be here Monday. He was waiting for his FAA administrator to be appointed.
Okay.
My understanding is that the press conference on 12:30 on Tuesday is going to be a big announcement that we've all been waiting for.
Okay, 12:30.
I'm not going to be the guy that I'm doing my best.
12:30 on Tuesday.
12:30 on Tuesday. The deputy administrator on last weekend, I was in Tarkio for Sam Graves' air show. We had a panel, and he was first up, and he says, Jack, I just want to let you know that we're coming to the show, and we got great news for you. So I figure that's That's where it is.
Good. Aside from Mosaic, and that's been a focus for the last several years.
Seven?
Mm-hmm. Wow, it's been that long. What are some of the other initiatives that you're working on?
Well, the Mosaic one, just let me touch on that just quickly, because it's really important for people to understand that the light sport category of airplanes is being redefined by way of Mosaic. And it is an entire change to where it's not a weight-limited airplane anymore. There's no weight limit. It's a stall speed limited. But you can. There's no speed restriction. You can go up to 250 knots. You can have retractable gear. You can have props that are not fixed. You can have. It's still limited to two people, but you can have four or five seats in it. When you go out and look at that, it's 70% of all of the registered airplanes today would qualify to be able to just operate them with a sport pilot's license.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's. Incredible. So half the time to get your ticket, half the cost, and all the fun.
Good.
And so that, as I tell my advocacy team, you know, now you thought you were going to put your feet up on your desk and have nothing to do, but you made me turn gray over the last 7 years trying to get the thing. It was on Sean and Elliott's goals every year, and it was all ended up red. I said, aren't you glad we can have a discussion where you actually accomplish something for the advocacy? We got a lot more to do. Yeah. So. The big one is the 2030 mandate where we have to take lead out of the fuel, and that is a tough problem to. I think it was a guy that was running Lycoming at the time said, you know, if this was easy, we would already have done it. And right. This is just a problem we can't figure out. So, a lot of work, a lot of testing. We got one fuel out there under an STC that seems to be doing okay, but we really need to get the fuel to have an industry standard that the producers, the oil producers, will want to all go produce. So. Two other fuels are in work. I'm one that would go on record that would say I don't think you'll have 100% drop in replacement.
Okay.
I think there'll be some outliers that from a detonation standpoint will be tough to handle. But I don't think that's going to be impactful. I think we'll get a good fuel. We got, you know, the UAS and I always just call it UAS, but any of the tilt rotors and all those different little things that you're starting to see them on the grounds here now. Integrating those into the national airspace system, huge, huge issue. Manned and unmanned, because the unmanned, we're trying to figure out how do they do beyond line of sight control of it, that you actually can't see it like you would with a radio controlled plane. And who's going to give up the right of ways? What's the equipage is going to look like? And we're at EA, we're holding strong that. They got to equip. We aren't taking on additional equipment mandates like we did with ADS-B, and we're not giving up airspace. So that's a big one. A lot still to come on mental health issues relative to the medical conditions. A lot of airport stuff going on with the recent movement of airports trying to develop a revenue stream by using ADS-B to track takeoffs and landings so they could charge you.
Right.
And, you know, we're really strong on that's not what the intent of ADS-B was. It was for safety and not for revenue. Yet at the same time, we're empathetic to the airports who need additional revenues because costs keep going up. Yep. So we're deep into that. So a lot of advocacy continues to be at the forefront of what we do. And this year, though, at AirVenture, we've, you know, backed kind of nothing new has been going on in the home build world for a long time. And okay. This year we've got two great new products coming from two different companies. Sonix has got a new high-wing airplane that they've been flying, but this is their public unveiling of it. And Vans is in the final, they've got the final configuration of their RV-15 here on display and painted and looking beautiful. And they're going to be taking orders. So it's fun.
What are some of the things that you're looking forward to this week?
One of them is the public benefit flying, which we have on the plaza, and you know, we've done stuff in the past, but it's usually very specific to a certain type of public relief. So it would be either cancer patient flying, or this is really a new attempt to create a venue for pilots to come find out how do they participate and what are the various options. So we have everything from flying pets or animals to the pop-up stuff when you have a hurricane or a tornado, to the ongoing medical relief things, but letting the pilots understand there's lots of places they can get involved. One example is, you know, experimental. Yeah, you can't fly an experimental aircraft commercially for medical relief of people, But you can do supplies. You can do, there's a lot of things. So we're really trying to educate and get people involved in making GA something more than just a hobby.
Right. Yes. And it's amazing how quickly general aviation can respond to hurricanes or even the floods, recent floods in Texas. It's always been a hallmark of general aviation. But you're right. A lot of folks who may fly experimental don't think they can do it, but they can.
They
can. There's a way in, and this is a great place to find out how you can get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Super. And, of course, the gathering on Thursday.
Gathering on Thursday is always fun. That's you know, the membership dues don't pay for all of the programs that we have. This event is certainly a big contributor to all that. And then our foundation is another one, because that's a lot of very focused donations that are restricted to certain programs that we have, like our Young Eagles program, which big year coming up on us. We're trying to get to 2.5 million. We're about 60,000 flights short, which is about what our yearly average is. So big push to keep that going. Very excited about that.
Good. And a lot of add-on programs with Young Eagles. I mean, 1992, it started out as basically, let's go for an airplane ride, kid. And it has expanded well beyond that. And it's just amazing the way the industry has kind of hooked onto the Young Eagles concept and really helped push it along.
It has. And we're trying to, I think the original intent was beautiful. Just get somebody up in the air for that experience. And then everybody starts picking it. You know, well, what are you getting out of that? Well,
what's next?
Yeah, what's next? What's next? And are you keeping count? No, we're just flying young kids and keeping count. But we're now putting programs in place so when they get home, we have some online education that they can do year-round for themselves, their parents, and their teachers, and more activities just to keep that spark alive if the interest is there.
Very good. Any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
Let's hope for a good, safe air venture, and as it has been in all the other years, we got to get back to how this was founded as far as the culture that's here is truly unique. And I think that's that's all because of the volunteers. The volunteers come here every year because they love it, and they love the companionship. They love what they do. We need to thank them and make sure that we keep them strong, because that then permeates through everybody that's here. So we're sitting at the flight line now looking at people in chairs watching the planes coming in, and it's, you know, I think Disney coined the happiest place on earth, but this one's far better than whatever they came up with.
That's right. Jack Belton from EIA, our guest this morning. Jack, appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and talk a little bit about EIA and AirVenture, and good luck this week. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Steve. Always fun talking.
All right. This is EIA Radio.